guys, Paddy here, and welcome and thank you, as always and once again, for downloading, streaming, or clicking on the link for the It's Not All About Me podcast, a podcast featuring a guy with a me and a mic, and that's me, Paddy. As is becoming a frequent fortnightly occurrence, it's not all about me this week. We have a guest, as you might have seen from the show notes. This week, I had a nice little chat to Rita Fifis from the MECFS Foundation South Africa. That's coming up in a matter of minutes. Thank you very much to Rita for coming on the show, and all her contact information is in the show notes, and she mentions it in the show as well, so that'll be coming up in a minute. So won't spend too much chatting to you in the intro and the outro this week, as we've got a guest on. I had a pretty good week this week. I went away. It was the first trip I've taken since last summer, and I went to Dublin, which for me involves a 30-minute train journey, then about a 2.5-hour bus journey, and then I was staying overnight in a hotel, and I went to a concert there. It was a concert of TV, film, and now music star David Duchovny. We had a fantastic time. We got to meet the man himself, the man, the myth, the monotone, as the song goes. I'll talk about that next week, I think, because at this concert, for the first time ever, I want to say, I asked for assistance or for circumstances to be changed on account of my illness from the venue. I've never had to do that before. I've never done that before. It was a new experience. It was not an altogether pleasant experience. I am so glad I did it, but it was the first time I've had to do that kind of publicly. So I think we'll talk about that quite a bit next week. I realise I haven't chatted about my ongoing activity diary as part of trying to work out pacing and baselines and that sort of thing. I'm still doing it. I've been doing it for many weeks now. I guess, when did we start that? That was Christmas Eve, I think we started that. And I'm still doing it. The reason I haven't... I'm tracking all my activities. I'm tracking my symptoms several times a day. The reason I haven't really gone back to it just yet, even though I'm doing it every day and every hour, is that patterns continue to be incredibly elusive. I will, as I think I said back then, I've got a friend who I hope still remembers me, used to work together, who is an impact analyst who does a lot of work around data analysis. I'm going to ask him to, have a wee chat and maybe a look at my figures and try and help it out. One thing that came up in this conversation we're about to hear with Rita, and has come up in the past with other people, is that inconsistency, that even if you're doing everything right, your health with this illness, your symptoms can your symptoms severity can increase and your health can decline. And that's a real kick in the not nice places to be kicked. Where is a nice place to be kicked? I'm not entirely sure about that. But anyway, wherever. Choose a place to be kicked. It's like that. It's the seeing the inconsistency, or maybe there is a consistency, maybe there's a pattern and I'm not that good at analyzing data, but I don't think there's a pattern. But I will get my pal to look at it. It would be really cool if I could get him to look at it on the show and we can talk about it. Maybe that would be the worst episode ever. Two people you don't know talking about a spreadsheet. Now I think about it in my head, that sounds like possibly the worst podcast. Is there an award for worst podcast of the year? I mean, that would probably be, that'll help. If you have trouble sleeping, I'll tell you when that episode's coming up, if we ever decide to record it, because look, you'll have no problems thereafter. This will be your go-to I can't sleep podcast. Might be able to help people that way. Didn't ever set out to help people fall asleep, but I fear if I was to do a podcast, which to me might be fascinating, about analyzing my data on a spreadsheet over weeks and weeks and weeks, might not be that interesting for you. Now hear me say it out loud. We'll maybe refrain from that. Let me know. I'll give you how the info on how to get in touch at the end of the show after the chat with Reetha, which I guess we'll just jump into now. So, this is Reetha Verwees from MECFS Foundation South Africa. And Reetha began the chat by giving us a little bit of an introduction and telling us a bit about her. Here we go, and I'll chat to you after the chat. All right, enjoy, Reetha and me.
My name is Reetha Verwees. I am 52 years old and I live in South Africa. I've had ME for a couple of years now, but I finally got diagnosed in 2008. It was extremely difficult to get this illness. I used to be very active. I studied a lot. I loved to work. I was a real career person. Had two young children. And then this illness hit me. Of all the other illnesses, this one hit me. And it came at a huge cost for our family, financially, definitely. My husband is a bit older than me, and the idea was that I would be the main breadwinner, and then he would be the house husband and in the meantime build some websites. He's actually an engineer. But when I was too ill to continue working, he had to start looking for a job again. And by that time, he was almost 60. So financially, it really hurt us. Monthly expenses are really tricky. And also, it really makes you feel inferior to have ME. You lose a lot of your cognitive abilities, especially some days. Some days I actually stutter. You don't know what to say, you can't find the words, or you've read the newspaper and then you can't recall what you've read. For me, the memory thing, I think that is what makes me feel most inferior. And obviously, because of the financial impact, people judge you by the car you drive, the house you live in. So all those factors really impacted on my emotional well-being, I would say.
God, I got so much identification there, Reetha, especially, and I'm thank you so much. I'm very grateful for you launching straight in by talking about the emotional impact and that feeling of inferiority. I can really identify with that kind of whenever people ask me nowadays, what do you do? And I still haven't come up with a good answer. You know, I still want to say, oh, I work for charities or something, because I know if I say, oh, I'm not working at the moment, then there will be, I don't think I'm being unfair, then there'll be a whole series of judgments made, you know, and it doesn't feel good, does it?
Not at all.
And you spoke there about, this is interesting, because last week somebody asked me on Twitter about raising children with ME. That might be an interesting place to start. How did you find that? It's not an experience that I personally have, but I'd be very interested in hearing your experience of that.
It's very difficult. I think if I didn't have the husband that I have, he's extremely supportive, I think it would have been almost impossible. Because, the kids have school activities and they would like you to be there to attend. And then you just can't do it. I can't drive far. If I have to drive, or if we have to go to a far place, somebody needs to drive and I will lay at the back of the car. And my youngest, it was embarrassing for her when friends drove with and, mom is at the back laying down, She couldn't explain to them. It's difficult of children because they really need things and they need things to happen on the moment that don't have time for you to feel better. So definitely difficult raising children. Fortunately, my children are now 26 and almost 19. So I was very fortunate in the sense that my children were not that small when I fell ill. I think it must be so difficult if you have like very small children, yes.
And as you say, I mean, that's something that I'm incredibly grateful for as well, having a supportive partner who, as you've mentioned already a couple of times, it's a rubbish illness to have. We all kind of agree with that.
Yes.
And having a supportive partner to not just deal and help you out with the day-to-day stuff, which is odd, like having to lie down in the back of a car or not participate, but also then bear the extra burden of responsibility financially or in other ways. I am incredibly grateful to have Maggie in my life, because I know life would be very hard without her.
Yeah, no, I'm very blessed as well. My husband is extremely supportive, and he's actually the one who will say, if I want to say yes for something, he'll say, you can't. You just can't, you know.
Oh, that's so brilliant.
He sets the boundaries almost. Yes.
Yeah, that's so I need that in my life. I'm getting a little bit better at saying no, but I've still got a long way to go, and I need someone. I need to borrow your husband, I think. And
I think so. You will have to go to the island. We can arrange that.
Yes, definitely. So how's your health? You said that you have a relatively recent diagnosis. How's your health at the moment? How are you feeling, say, today?
Yes, I've been diagnosed about 11 years ago.
Ah, right.
My health is such that I would say I'm about 50% disabled. So what I do is I do scheduled resting. I wake up and then I will function for about 2.5 to 3 hours max. Then my battery is completely flat. And then I will go and lie down for an hour to two. Depends on how I'm feeling, you know, on the day. My health, it's fine as long as I manage to do my scheduled rests. The moment I go over that envelope, I really pay for it. You know, definitely the brain is not well at all. I cannot retain info like I used to. I can't recall information. Yeah, no. So health-wise, I'm weak physically, not very strong. My health is not. I would say 50% disabled.
Yeah, I can appreciate and identify with that. I'm interested about your scheduled rests, because a lot of people have been coming on and sharing their what works for them, what helps them make their balance their equation. Now, with your scheduled rests, say 3 hours had passed and you were feeling okay, would you still take a scheduled rest then?
Yes. I've learned the hard way. If I don't do that, I will crash.
Right.
Yes.
So that takes a lot of discipline then, doesn't it? If you're in the middle of something you're actually enjoying and you have to stop it.
Yes. Look, sometimes it happens, but then I really pay for it. I'm a bit better at nighttime. At nighttime, I can do about 4 hours, which is great because at least then you can go out for supper or something like that. But that will also, I will pay a price for that as well, because, you know, you have to pay attention to what people are saying. And it's very, for me, socialization is very draining.
Yeah, I can really identify. I think our symptoms sound incredibly similar, especially around the brain fog and what brings that on. I mean, for me, yeah, socializing is a very much a red light activity.
Yes, people don't realize that you need to listen, then you need to understand, and then you need to reply. That is very complex, yes.
It is. And you talk about the brain fog as well, where it's something it seems has been one of the biggest impacts on your life. You strike me as somebody who, you know, in the past you put a lot into your career. You were driven that way, and it is a real difficult thing to take whenever the mental aspects are taken away from you. Because I really not only utilized, I think, my brain, but I was proud of it as well, you know.
Yes.
And I find that incredibly difficult. Yes. Whenever I can't, like you say, I can't read more than 3 pages of a book
because I know I won't remember it anymore, you know?
Yes. I must say what really helped me was I founded a support group on Facebook about almost 7 years ago. And then 4 years ago, a non-profit organization for ME, the only one in South Africa. And it's okay to make a mistake because everybody understands. Mm-hmm. And copy and paste is absolutely the best ever. I used to be able to work a lot with numbers, but I can't do that anymore. But words are easier because you can copy and paste.
That's a brilliant top tip. Copy and paste is your friend. I like that. So, you mentioned the foundation. Now, this is the MECFS Foundation South Africa.
Correct.
Tell me about this then.
You know, initially, I started it just to be able to raise awareness because, like everywhere in the world, but also in South Africa, there's a big stigma. Most of the doctors do not know about it. The public don't know about it. And we wanted to educate healthcare practitioners and advocate for the rights. But as time went on, I realized that there are some common themes. One is isolation. Personally, I suffer from that as well. I work from home, function from home rather. It's very, I speak to my cats. I mean, we are lonely people. Poverty is a huge thing. In South Africa, you do not get disability benefits for ME. And if you did, it would be like £90 per month, which is really nothing.
Yeah.
So now we're trying to assist people more in terms of basic necessities, food, data for their cell phones, try to get people to be diagnosed with a doctor. So we've moved. We still do what we set out to do, but we have increased our activities so we can help more patients.
Oh, that sounds absolutely fantastic. And we'll make sure before we wrap up that we get all your information out there so people can join, support, or seek support from you guys.
Yes.
What is the current situation then? Can you go into a little bit about the medical opinion on ME in South Africa or in Johannesburg? How is that viewed, the illness at the moment?
It's extremely underdiagnosed, like we all know, but the level of knowledge about ME is almost non-existent. In the private sector, in the public health sector, you've got no chance. And our public health sector is very much overloaded. A lot of poverty is there, so there's not money for great treatments. And it's extremely difficult to raise funds in South Africa for ME, because unfortunately, the perception is that it's a white person illness, although we have made contact with quite a lot of non-white people. Unfortunately, politics in South Africa still force us to think about race because of the wrongs of the past. An NGO who cannot show that their beneficiaries are 75% plus black will not get funding. That's just the way it is. So the level of knowledge is almost non-existent. The level of assistance is really not existing. And the funny thing is we need funds to do a survey so we can prove it's not a white person illness. But for that, you need to show your beneficiaries are 75% non-white. So it's a catch-22.
It is. And you are the only organization of your kind in South
Absolutely.
Africa.
Yes.
My goodness. I can see that the difficulty around that.
Yes.
That's a challenge. My heart goes out to you guys.
Sorry, we've also started making contact with other countries in Africa. They have no ME organizations there. And from time to time, we do get patients making contact, and then we put them on our support group just to provide a little bit of support for them as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. You're doing some great work over there. And especially also then around the supporting people, I didn't know that if you had MECFS in South Africa, you're not eligible for any kind of state support.
Not at all. Nothing.
I can't even imagine that. I have to admit. My life would be, well, my life wouldn't be the way it is if that was my case.
Yeah, and that has actually given me now the real objective of forming ME communities in South Africa, almost communes, where we can have people with ME living in certain facilities. We will call it communes / care mm-hmm. facilities, just to take care of the poverty, the isolation. But that obviously will require a lot of funding. We're busy looking for it, because there's absolutely no assistance from the government. And I can't see that will change soon. I cannot see that.
That's not likely. There's nobody running in upcoming elections on the ME platform then.
No, not yet.
Not definitely. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. The problem is, in South Africa, the focus is on age and tuberculosis, diabetes. That's people can relate to that, but ME not yet. But, you know, I'm positive we're going to make a huge difference. We have made a huge difference, and we'll continue so.
Oh, absolutely. Just creating I have found, since I started really engaging with even the online community,
yes.
I have found so much identification, support and assistance just through that. So I think providing that on your continental or national or local level online, I think you're right. That is already a huge difference maker, isn't it?
For sure. People are extremely lonely. And just to think, or just to be here, to be validated, what's wrong with me? It's not in my head. I think that's the biggest thing, to be validated.
It is with this illness, because I think I have struggled at times, being a what I hope would be a decent and honest person. Even I find myself sometimes in the past having questioned even myself, not even other people, but questioning me and saying, well, you were able to go for a run yesterday, so how ill are you? You know, it gets into my head. I don't need other people to ask that question. Sometimes it's me asking it, and that's no good.
That is true. I think we can all relate to that.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes you think, maybe I am lazy, you know, but you know you're not. But it's just, it crosses your mind.
Yes. I think that's absolutely true. Well, it's true for me. Whenever... if I had a choice, and it's like, well, I could stay on the sofa watching TV all day, and then that flicker comes across my mind that asks, well, look, if you had a job where you worked from home, what are the chances you would do that anyway? But then I'm almost grateful then, and this is the craziness of this illness, then I'm almost grateful whenever I get one of those terrible crashes where I can barely move and I can't think and I'm a mess, because then at least it reminds me you are ill.
I always joke, move one house to another. If ever you're in doubt whether you've got ME or not, do a move. You will soon find out afterwards. You will crash.
This is it, exactly. Yeah, if I ever think I'm just lazy, I just need to spend an hour on a telephone call or something, and I'm like, no.
It wipes us out.
So day to day then, going forward, how are you kind of dealing? You've got your main way of trying to solve your or balance your equation is the scheduled rest breaks. What else do you find helps you?
Well, also to alternate activities during the time that I function. And that is a bit of a problem for me, because once I start working on the foundation stuff, you know, it's such a passion that I just want to continue.
Mm.
And then I really have to speak to myself and say, get up, do something else. And never, ever, I cannot do something on the spur of the moment. That just doesn't work. So it takes a lot of self-discipline, but I also know if I don't do that, I will become a lot more ill. In my personal experience, that will happen to me.
Yeah. Yes, I can identify with that. I really can. And I think I'll take away from this conversation that need for discipline. I'm personally, I'm too frequently do I think, oh, I'm doing all right, I can do another hour of this or that. And then, yeah, you're right, the inevitable happens. And it takes a long time to learn that, I find.
Yes. But I also want to say that I think there's a level of severity that when people are that ill, that no amount of rest is going to help. They have just become so ill, and not necessarily by their fault, you know, not at all. Mm-hmm. So because people often say, okay, so you can manage your illness not to get worse. It's not really that simple, because I have deteriorated despite the scheduled rests, just slower. I think that's what you can say. Yeah.
Yes, I think it's really, really good to say that again, because that's a big misunderstanding, I think, that unfortunately the experience seems to be that the illness is no respecter of the interventions that you put in place. It's still going to kind of bite you in the rear end, and possibly for quite a long time as well. That's my experience. I had massive frustration whenever I was kind of doing everything right, and I still got worse.
Yes.
You're absolutely right to raise that. And some of the people that you've encountered in through running the foundation, you're dealing with, I guess, a whole spread of severity of symptoms there.
Yes, we do. And what's very sad to see is how some people deteriorate to the extent that you fear for their lives. And then, just an example, recently one of our very ill members, a little girl of 11 years old, has also been diagnosed. And she deteriorated within a month or two to the extent that she can't walk without assistance. And that scares everybody, you know.
I always, my heart always goes out to whenever I hear or speak to young people with this illness. It's absolutely heartbreaking, you know.
Yeah, and there's no, you know, forget cancer. I always say it's a horrible illness, but there's almost immediately a plan of action.
Yes.
And it might work or not, but it will not last for 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah, that's very true. I've heard that sentiment expressed quite a few times over the last few months.
Yes.
And I think taking away all emotion and just stating that as a fact, it does seem true, and that's a pretty bad indictment. It's pretty damning, isn't it?
It is. I also have a family member with ME, and yeah, that's hard to see. Very, very hard to see.
It is. I think, and again, that's why having folks like you, your online presence internationally, as well as then the work that the MECFS Foundation South Africa is doing locally. It's so important, especially if we are waiting for governments and medical fraternity to kind of catch up to what we're saying. In the meantime, we need to be that. It's like Jack Kroxall said when he was on the show, we need to be that echo chamber, you know, and putting the word out there so that enough noise is created that it has to be listened to and respected.
We have no choice but doing that. I agree completely.
So how can people access or get in touch with MECFS Foundation South Africa, and what is it you guys can offer?
On Facebook, they can just type in the MECFS Foundation South Africa, and if they want to go onto our website, it is www.mecfssa.org. Just a note, we're busy changing it a little bit, so it's not 100% the way it should be. If they want to join our support group, we take people from Africa as well as people who were born in Africa. So if you now live in the States, but were born here, then you are more than welcome to join our support group. And then you can just email us at info@mecfssa.org. And, you know, I often get emails from people across the world because I've come across our website. And then because I try to keep abreast with what's going on overseas, I can then say, why don't you try this organization in a different country? It has happened in the past.
Absolutely. And I see you're very active on Twitter and other social media sites. And I've seen you retweeting, working not just within your own country, but then, yeah, definitely, yes, clearly liaising with those third parties in other, yes, countries. It's growing. Do you have hope?
I do. It's funny, from a personal perspective, I hope the younger ones can get helped quicker, because I have a daughter who's got it. So from a selfish point of view, if you can say that, I would love the younger ones to get helped quicker, but I have hope. I definitely have hope. I've come across Open Medicine Foundation quite a lot. I speak to Linda Tannenbaum sometimes, and yeah, they give us hope, eh? And all the research that's going on worldwide.
Yeah, it's growing, and I think it's organizations like yours, it's things like the UK parliamentary debate,
yes,
which I think, regardless of what the maybe the shorter or long term outcome, just the noise that was made that day,
yes,
was pretty impressive. You know, it was pretty,
yes,
hard to reach. And I think just doing what we can in our 3 hour snippets between rests,
yes,
I think we're getting there. We really are.
I think so too.
Yeah,
I think hopeful. Every person that comes across our foundation and realize I'm not alone, that's a win. And then obviously the next win will be if we can get proper treatment or even a cure.
Absolutely. Well, look, I urge people to go and check out MECFS Foundation South Africa and support them or receive support from them, whatever is necessary. Fantastic organization. And yeah, hopefully get those surveys completed so that you can demonstrate,
yes,
the spread of this illness across.
Definitely, yes.
Because again, ME illness like this, it doesn't discriminate based on color or culture or class or background or the money in your pocket or the car that you drive.
Or your age. Nothing. Funny enough, I heard the other day of somebody, she's joined our group. She only got it at the age of 61.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was quite interesting, because normally people get it fairly young. But, yeah, that was quite an exception for me.
That's it. Well, Lane, yes, we'll continue to get stories like these out. And, Rita, I've really, really appreciate you coming on today. It would be fantastic if we could do this again sometime in the future, because I think yours is an ongoing story and your organization is definitely blooming, isn't it?
Yes, thank you so much for having me. And just maybe one thing to say, if you look at the exchange rate, you know, you guys, £1 for us, that's 18 South African rand. So if ever somebody feel it in their heart to assist us, we can grow more and quicker and reach more patients.
Absolutely. And once again, what's the easiest way for people outside of South Africa to support you?
We have PayPal. If you go onto our website, there's PayPal. Or you can do a bank transfer, electronic financial transaction, EFT.
Okay, and we'll put those details in the show notes. If you're listening to this on the on your podcast app or whatever, just look down and you'll find all the details for Rita's organization there. Rita, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you
really
very much for your kindness. I really appreciate it.
Have the best day you can.
And yeah, that's that. So thank you very much to Rita for coming on. It was really cool to hear her experience, her tips, to share her frustrations, and also to hear how ME-CFS is received, related to, respected, treated, and thought of in a country that I don't know that much about. So that was really cool. I'm sure we'll have Rita on again. All her contact info is in the show notes down below, so you don't have to go back and listen to it. Just check out the show notes and you'll get all the info on how to get in touch with her and communicate in all the ways that she mentioned on the show. I guess that's about us until next week. So how do you get in touch with us? I'm joined once again and briefly by Maggie, who you all know from episode, I don't know what it was. Was it 9, 8, 7? I'd look it up and see. It went down very well, that episode. So Mags has joined us again. Hello.
Hello.
Do you want to tell the good people how they can get in touch with us if they want to talk about us, talk to us?
At zero all about me on Twitter. It's not really all about me at gmail.com.
No, that's completely wrong. So we'll do that again. So if you want to get in touch with us, discuss, share experience, or just chat, then we're on zero all about me on Twitter. Zero all about me.
That's what I said.
That is what you said. You got that one right. And on email, it's really not all about me at gmail.com. It's really not all about me at gmail.com. I'm trying to get guests on every 2 weeks now, as you can see. It's going pretty well. I've got a few people lined up for the next while. But like I said last week, you're in a queue. So if you feel it's your turn to come and share a little bit, it doesn't have to be half an hour. It can be 5 minutes. It can be a monologue. It can be a chat. If you're up for it and you want to share a bit of experience today, we heard something new about parenting with ECFS. I know I've been seeing on Twitter recently a lot of people talking about that. If that is an experience that you want to share, if you're up to it, of course, you know. Right now, if you need to be just listening to this podcast and that's all you can do, then, you know, that's why we have the podcast. I'm paying it forward a little bit because I can right now. There, I hope for you, will be a time when you can do the same. And at that point, please don't hesitate to email, get in touch and say, hey, I'm next. Because you will be, and that's fabulous, and we'll love to have you on. Till then, have yourselves the best day that you can. Take care of yourself and each other, and I'll speak to you next week. Bye.